let's go.
Right.
Oh!
Oh! Wait!
The stones are all the way. There's no stone. Are you kidding me? Where's the... Hang on. There's only these great clothes.
Why do you look for the dead among... Why do you look for the living among the dead? Do you not remember what he spoke to you in Galilee? Jesus has risen. He spoke to you about how he would die, be crucified, and rise again 3 days later.
He said that.
He did. He did say that, didn't he? Thank you. We should go tell the others.
Yes.
Thank
they
you.
They won't believe
they
us.
They won't believe it. It's unbelievable.
This morning's first reading will come from Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 to 14. That can be found on page 868 of the Church Bible. Ezekiel 37, verses 1 to 14. The Valley of Dry Bones. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me to and fro among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, "This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, breath from the four winds and breathe into these slain, that they may live." So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, 'Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off.' Therefore, prophesy and say to them, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord."
Happy Easter to everyone. The second reading is taken from Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 31, and can be found on page 1052 in the Church Bibles. Luke 18. Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again." The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about.
All right. Now,
As you can see, I've got a picture of a rabbit up there. Oh, yeah, girls, just close your colouring in for a minute. You don't need to do that because I need some help. As you know, I often need help with my talk, so I'm going to need... Yeah, come on, sit up. You can do it. It's all right. Need some help. Okay. All right, so grown-ups and kids, Easter, it's a perplexing time. As you know, we had a rabbit hunt this morning. Was that right? It was a duck hunt? It's duck. No, we didn't have a... Have I got it wrong? What do we have? Oh, an Easter egg hunt. Yeah, of course. Okay. The other reason I've got the picture of the rabbit there is because some people told me a while ago that if I put photos of faces up, that the photos of faces are quite distracting. So I've used animals instead today. Hopefully that'll be less distracting. But I've got a question. As many of you guys know, when we start off talking about the Bible, I like to get your brains going and ask you a question. And your question this morning is, what is the difference between hearing and listening? So I'm going to give you 30 seconds to talk to the people around you about the difference between hearing and listening. And if you didn't hear me ask the question, then we're already in trouble. Go. Talk to the people around you. All right, everybody. Lots of chats. This is good. I love the chats. I'm just going to pick up the Shroud of Turin and put it back. All right, so you guys have been talking about the difference between listening and hearing. Okay, now I'm going to posit the two different answers, the differences. Okay, all right. So this is what I think hearing is. Hearing is when there's a sound, there might be words, there might be whatever, and it's just blah, 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 whatever. Like when your mum asks you to clean your room. No, sorry, I got that wrong. Okay, whereas listening is when we hear something, maybe it's words, maybe it's a sound, like a small child grabbing something very expensive, And we think, wow, that's important. Okay, I will do something about it. But we're not always good at listening, are we? Not always good at it. So I wonder, why is it that you don't listen? Why is it? So I've got a couple of theories about this. Parents and grown-ups in the room might be able to confirm or deny my theories. So here we go. Here's my first one. Yeah? Who struggles with this at home? History, yes, yes, yes. Or the other version of this, which looks like this. Okay. Also, yes, yes, my poor wife, Liz, she's always repeating what she has to say 6 times because everyone has headphones on. So that's a problem. The other reason you might not be listening is because you are looking at one of these. I see some people chuckling in recognition. That's right, yeah. That's right. Okay, or the other reason you might not be listening is because, well, frankly, you're having a bad day. You're having a bad day and you don't want to listen to... Oh, is there somebody here having a bad day, is there? Doesn't want to listen? Yeah. It's one of those days. Not enough eggs, too many eggs. Mi casa, su casa, all of that. The other reason that you might not be listening is because... you don't understand what you're hearing, okay? There's a noise, there are some words, and they just don't make any sense to you whatsoever. Let me give you an example. Imagine if I was to say to you, you know what? I'm going to get a really big metal pipe, and what I want you to do is to... trip over your mic cord. No. Is to go into that metal pipe, sit on a comfy chair... and watch TV. Makes perfect sense, right? While you're in that metal pipe watching TV, what I'm going to do is we're going to pick the metal pipe up and like throw it really hard into the air a long way. And when it lands, you're not going to be dead. What do you reckon? Sounds good? I can see Jack nodding. He's into it. That's good. Okay. Now, of course, we all know that this is catching a plane. Okay. And if you tried to explain this to someone 200 years ago, they'd have thought you were insane. You couldn't have explained it. And yet, we think it's normal. But Easter is one of those situations where someone says some words, they make no sense, and the people are just left going, what is he talking about? I don't understand. So Jesus is going up to Jerusalem. He's talking to his disciples, his best friends, his followers, and he's saying, everything that's written by the prophets, everything that's been said before is going to happen. I'm going to be given over to Roman soldiers. They're going to mock me. I know sometimes family does this as well, but it's more serious than that. They're going to insult me. They're going to spit on me. Okay, this is getting pretty gross. Gets worse. They will flog me and kill me. And you can imagine Jesus' friends are going, whoa, this is heavy. This is heavy. We really don't want this to happen. And then Jesus utters another sentence, which puts us in the, you know, comfy chair in the metal tube thing. He says, on the third day, I will rise again. And his disciples just don't even know what to make of that. Who? It's very difficult to understand. Very difficult. So I want you to use your imagination for a minute, okay? And I've got this question. What is easier to imagine? Someone dying or someone coming back from dying? What do you reckon? Someone dying, that's right. Because everyone dies, don't they? We have a graveyard full of eggs. I mean, graves. And that's testimony to that, isn't it? There's lots of graves there. Everybody dies. Some things are very hard to imagine. Some things are very hard to imagine. That's why we have this tomb here today as we celebrate Jesus rising from the dead, because it's a hard thing to imagine. In fact, it tells us the very next thing after Jesus' words that the disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them and they did not know what he was talking about. Now, this is not the first time someone's talked about someone coming back from dying and they haven't understood it. So Jack read to us from the book of Ezekiel. God says to Ezekiel, Ezekiel's a man who gives God messages to give to people. And he asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? There's a whole field full of bones. Can these bones live? And Ezekiel's like, I don't know. And God says, I will make breath enter them and they will come back to life. Now, this is not a zombie film, just by the way, so don't worry about that. But it's hard to imagine. Some things are very hard to imagine. But do you know what? Lots of things in our lives that happen in our lives, normal things are hard to imagine too. So kids here, I wonder if you can remember when your mum and dad said to you, you're going to go to school. You're going to learn things. You're going to make friends. And you were just going, how's that going to work? It's hard to imagine. Maybe grown-ups here remember your first job. Someone explained to you, you're going to have this job. It's going to be really cool. They're going to give you money. And you're like, how's that going to work? Then there's driving. I've taught a few people to drive. And do you know what? I think they thought they'd just get behind the wheel and it'd all be cool. But actually, figuring out how you're going to drive is hard to imagine. Meeting the right person, getting married. People tell us about it, we see movies about it, but actually the reality of being married to someone, it's a thing that's hard to imagine. And then there's children. Now, don't get me wrong, I love children. Children are great. When Liz and I first got married, I wanted to have kids. And I'd played with kids before, I'd looked after them, but actually having a baby and bringing them up, it's a hard thing to imagine. What are they going to be like in 5 years? What are they going to be like in 10? What are they going to be like in 15 years? I'm finding that out at the moment. It's a hard thing to imagine. And then, of course, what about getting old? What's it going to be like for me to get old? I can't imagine it. Do you know when I was 20 years old, I used to think to myself, hey, in 10 years' time, I'm going to be 30. What's that going to be like? Couldn't figure it out in my head. I just couldn't do it. Couldn't imagine what it was going to be like. I'm 51 now. When I was 20, I had no idea. And sometimes Liz and I will be out for dinner, maybe an anniversary, and I will say to her, where do you think we're going to be in 5 years' time? And we just look at each other going, because it's hard to imagine. And then, of course, there is dying. All of us at some point will die, and we don't know what it's going to be like. We hear stories of it. We try to imagine what it's going to be like for us, but we just don't know. We can't imagine it. Some things are very hard to imagine, but also true. And Jesus coming back from dying is like that. So, you might have heard about this before. You might have heard about Easter Sunday, Jesus coming back from dying, and you might have thought, nah, heard it before, whatever, words, blah, 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 whatever. But actually this year, I want to encourage you to actually listen. Not just hear, but to be listening now. And to think, yeah, wow, this is hard, but I want to believe. I want to believe in it. It's an amazing thing, but I want to believe. Some of you will still be maybe going, how does that even happen? How does that work? You know, give me a flow chart. I can't give you a flow chart. But what I can give you is Ezekiel's words. He didn't understand either, but he said this. He said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. God, you know how this is going to happen, and I'm going to trust you. Now, let me give you an example of when we don't understand things, but they still work. So let me take you back to airplanes for a minute. So this is a guy called Frank Whittle. Frank Whittle invented the jet engine. That's those round things on the wings that make the plane, well, they sort of make it. Anyway, we won't go there. Frank Whittle designed this engine, and he explained to everyone, he said, if we put these on a plane, you guys can get into a metal tube in a comfy chair and watch TV and fly from like England to America or America to Australia. And people looked at him and they said, you're insane. You're crazy. That's never going to work. How many people here have caught a plane? Do you know that plane flight is now the safest way to travel? It's safer than cars, it's safer than buses, it's safer than mountain bikes, don't ask me about that. It's the safest way to travel. We might not understand how it works, but it's still true. And the same is true for Jesus' words. Jesus said he would be killed. We celebrated this on Good Friday. Robbie explained to us how important that is, Jesus dying for our sins. And on Easter Sunday, he rose again. The stone was rolled away. He rose again. All that was left were the grave clothes. Jesus kept his word. Jesus kept his word. And he wasn't the only one to see what had happened. Not just the women who came to find Jesus saw it. We're told, this is a letter from a guy called Paul to the church, and he's saying, for what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. God promised it would happen, it happened. That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. God promised it would happen, it happened. Then he appeared to Cephas and then the 12, that's the disciples. After that, he appeared to more than 500 people at the same time. This is not a fairy story. It's not a, you know, ooh, maybe someone took a bad photo, you know, doctored it. No, this is real stuff. Jesus kept his word. That's why we can have faith in Jesus. But you know the amazing thing? Because of Easter Sunday, we can have Easter eggs. Now, hang on, that's not the amazing thing. Because of Easter Sunday, Jesus rising again from the dead means we too will rise as well. And if we put our trust in Jesus, we don't just rise into whatever, we rise to be friends with God forever. That is the great news that we are looking forward to. We can stand in front of God's throne and know that God will listen to us. How about we pray? And then we're going to sing a song celebrating this thing together. Father God, we thank you so much. Lord, we want to listen to you. We want to hear what Jesus said. We want to take it seriously because not only did he die for our sins to pay for them, but Lord, he is risen again and we will rise with him and we will be able to stand before your throne and sing to you and be with you in a great place forever. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.